Welcome to the Wise Wolf Gold and Crypto Show. I'm your host, Tony Arterburn. It is Wednesday, the 22nd of September, 2021. On the other end of this stream is Kinsey, the artist formerly known as Fringe, my co-host. If you are dreaming about financial independence through precious metals and crypto, you're probably thinking of Kinsey as your Sherpa. But if you are part of the global cabal to steal, to appropriate wealth through the theft of fiat currency, then she is in your nightmares. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Wise Wolf Gold and Crypto Show. Glad to be here. Kinsey, you had texted me yesterday about how much research you had for this program. And
yes.
I'm hoping we can fit it into an hour. You sent me all the links, and I'm really excited to divulge your research because, look, I've known you a good while, and I know that you're very thorough. Your shows are very well researched, and that's why we're happy to have you here on this program. So where do we start? I mean, are we looking at, with Evergrande, are we looking at the Lehman Brothers of the Asian region of China? What are we looking
at? This is what it is being compared to on some of the mainstream media type channels. If this all goes down, this is probably going to be a pretty historic moment. And I would say something like this could actually possibly make Lehman Brothers look small. Now, this is all if this is worst case scenario, because I'm not saying that it's all going to come to an end. We just have some really bad timing. Now, at least part of this bad timing was kind of fixed today because the Fed didn't really spook anybody too much during their talks today. But with the Fed speaking, people need to kind of digest that. We have the Evergrande situation, Evergrande or Evergrande. They say it both ways on the news there. You've got inflation talks, and it's, you know, September, October, never really good for the stock market. So, I mean, we're seeing something huge. And I think that most people in America maybe don't quite grasp this because they go, oh, well, it's in China. It doesn't hurt me. And I want to be here today to explain the spillover that the media is talking about, because, Tony, I mentioned Evergrande on the last show that we did. I think that I either texted you or I had it in my show notes for the podcast that we did before then. So I've been following this kind of unravel here for over a month, and it seems like the mainstream media just now wants to tell you about it. Their reasoning for that, I don't understand it. Their timing on it, don't quite understand it. Maybe it's because it is going to become something big. And if you don't know, Evergrande is actually China's largest property developer. And there's possibly, this is why so many people don't think that it's a big deal, but guys, there's possibly, just saying, I mean, either way, something could happen here, but they're likely not going to get a bailout. China has been working for this past year or so on actually reining in some of these big companies. And if they were to actually bail out Evergrande, it would just kind of be a shooting themselves in the foot sort of moment. So there's a chance that this truly does just start to unravel. And it's scary because there's $305 billion that we know about on their balance sheets, but they do a lot of shadow banking. And there's, I have seen numbers. I can't tie this together myself, but I've seen numbers as high as $2 trillion. They are way over leveraged. Just imagine if BlackRock, I'm not going to say that they're that big, but imagine if we had a scenario with BlackRock and the government wasn't going to come in and save them. That's how big this is right now.
Wow.
And it
they're
will
not
end
Lehman.
Up.
That's
they're
not
Lehman,
Lehman numbers.
No. And this could end up hurting some of the, so even some of our listeners here, you know, even if you have been responsible, my biggest concern here is who's invested. And if we go and look at that, that's the very first links that I've sent over. And if you guys want to go check out the podcast and look for yourself, you can see who's buying, who's selling, closing positions and all. We've got Vanguard, Spider ETFs, Voya, WisdomTree, iShares, Schwab, Goldman and Sachs actually opening new positions today, Invesco and Fidelity. All of those are in the US, and about half of them actually play commercials nonstop to get you invested so you can be better set up for your retirement. Now, if I'm not saying that if Evergrande goes down that you're going to be totally screwed. That is not what I'm saying here, but some of your retirement plans, IRAs, different things like this, areas that you might be invested in, could take a pretty hard hit. And depending on how much spillover we have, it could turn into something pretty ugly pretty fast. And again, I'm not saying that that's going to happen. It is just a possibility, and we don't know how bad it is until it's over. I mean, the stock's down over 80%. Any day now, we're looking at bankruptcy for this company. In fact, just another little tidbit of info for you guys. In the first half of this year, 165 real estate companies across China have already filed for bankruptcy.
And that seems to be a precursor to what should be happening here. I don't it want it to happen here, but what I'm thinking of is the occupancy rate for commercial real estate is like at an all-time low.
Yes. I mean,
we're talking like depression levels and beyond that because of the lockdowns and because commuting has changed and all of that because of the COVID-1984 scenario. So that looks like without the Fed, and we'll talk about the Fed in a little bit, the tapering and talking about raising interest rates in 2022 and then the spreadsheet to 2023. I don't see how the real estate survives this injection of cash and then a withdrawal of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, how do you do it? Because you're propping up a system. So it looks like is this like the first of many to go, like a domino effect?
And that's...
And they're linked.
Yeah, exactly. It's this giant spider web, right? And it's kind of hard to see where everything is connected together until it starts to fall apart. And, you know, most people are thinking, oh, you know, it's in China, doesn't affect me, everything's going to be fine. But we're in such a strange time right now due to the virus that's going around, or, you know, what they claim to be going around and how the governments tend to handle these situations. And that has put a lot of stress on our economy. And to be honest, our economy wasn't doing good before all of this, but it was a great excuse to inject a ton of cash and liquidity into the markets that we have here. So, you know, it seems as though we're staying afloat, but it just takes one of these really large companies to go bankrupt. And then from there, you will see the domino effect from other banks that were tied to them. I mentioned some of these other investing firms that are out there, and that's kind of the scariest thing is I wish we really knew how deep that went in every sector, just because there's been a huge push to invest overseas, especially in China. I would say for the last year, it's really been getting pushed hard. And Evergrande is, let me compare it this way. There are some really good old machines out there, but they only work as long as you keep supplying oil to them, right? Well, Evergrande has just run out of oil. There's no money. That's your money is the oil. It's gone. And now this machine is starting to run really hot and something is about to break. In fact, I'd say it's already broken.
Well, let's back up for about three shows ago, we covered Palantir, the Peter Thiel's company linked to intelligence data mining. They basically look into the future, right? It's what the Palantir was, you know, in the Lord of the Rings was so you could see across great distances. They bought $50 million in gold bullion, not gold contracts, gold bullion. And that was, you know, leading up to before this news or right about the same time.
It was right at the same time. Yes.
Right. So you were talking about this before it hit the mainstream. Another reason why you should subscribe to this podcast. We have some great research here. We see that happening. And I have to say that those things have to be linked. I don't know. I'm making a call there just looking at the data that they see things that the mainstream is not really allowed. Their teleprompters don't put, you know, don't put actual real. I remember thinking in 2008, I was 28 years old and I was running a convenience store and we were putting fuel in the ground. You know, it was about $30,000-$40,000 for a load of fuel every time. And then the prices of fuel keep going up. And I hear people, this was when gas was getting close to like $4 and it broke that barrier. Like this was just going nuts. Oil was going, you know, past 100 into the close. What was it? When did we get to like 120, 130, a barrel, somewhere in that crazy amount. Mm-hmm. And the economy, everybody kept saying, oh, you should get into the stock market. It's really having a rally. And I'm like, I think there's something. I think this is a bubble. I think this is something that's really bad. So I started bracing for impact. But the mainstream was telling me, oh, no, no, no. There's nothing wrong. Like you could go back and look at the archives. And even up to the day when you see like a Lehman, right? When that cascading event, right? The black swan, when it hit, it's like a different reality the next day. So I think when I look at the markets and I look at news and look at some of the research you're doing, yes, that this may not be like, oh, this is the crash, but these are signposts on the road to what will, I mean, and look, I titled the show today, like creative destruction, the Fed's creative destruction to destroy cash. This is what mm-hmm. really this is all. If you're looking at the Great Reset and the World Economic Forum and the UN and all these great, the big financial interests, as my friend Charlie Robinson would say, the octopus of global control. If you look at that, the Chinese today, there was big news on their digital currency push. The Fed also, there's mm-hmm. a link on Drudge. So what we're witnessing, and especially when you see like the occupancy rate being at this, I mean, it's devastating for commercial real estate.
Yes.
They're propping it up. So what you have time to do, in my opinion, as just a regular person and trying to protect your wealth, is take a hard look at these institutions and these companies that you have your investments tied to, because all yes. of this is linked. So that was a long way around saying everything is linked. And when you're doing the research that we're doing, there is a push for digital currencies. And one of the ways that you get something new, ladies and gentlemen, is you use a crisis, right? This is the Rahm Emanuel.
You never let one go to waste,
never
right?
let one go to waste, right? You use a crisis. And that's what they need, crisis, for the implementation of these new programs. So in my mind, that's the season that we're in. So what else? And before I get there, is the simulation broken? Because wasn't it just like, how long ago was the Suez Canal backed up by wasn't it the Evergreen or
Evergreen? Have you seen the photoshopped memes of people making it say Evergreen?
I haven't
it's seen fantastic.
It. I just thought of it. I'm like, is the simulation broken? Is there something wrong? Because it was owned by a company, and I know that I'm uh-huh. off topic, but it was owned by a company called Evergreen, but it was like the Ever Given.
Yeah.
Like it was something weird. Like it was named, but it wasn't the same name. And then you have the Evergrande. I'm going, okay. And then this is the thing that blocks up everything. I mean, I don't know, man. Simulation's broken, ladies and gentlemen, but we're here to bring you the best possible intel on that. What else do you see? What else in your research? What are we really looking at here?
Okay. So just to finish up this Evergrande stuff, which I don't think you're going to hear from the news unless it all goes south. The reason I think that it could, and then we'll move on from here. So they are facing interest payments that they cannot pay back from bank loans and the bonds that they give out. They actually missed a payment on Monday. So first missed payment there. Interesting enough too, other property developers are getting hit. So Chinese property developer Scenic halts trading after diving 87% in a day. A couple of companies followed the same thing. They actually turned off their markets for a while. And this is where stuff starts to get a little bit scarier. Evergrande has already said that two of its subsidiaries have failed to uphold guarantee obligations. That's $145 million worth. And this could, I'm going to say that this likely will lead to cross default. So this is the same kind of scenario as 08 playing out, but in another country. You know, it's not starting here at home. It's not necessarily starting in Europe or wherever. This is a China issue. They are struggling to repay investors. This includes different banks, bondholders, as well as housing for home buyers who have paid for properties in advance. We're actually talking about over 1 million people who are waiting to have homes built or flats built. They're literally waiting to move into, and it's just not going to happen. So all of this is unraveling, and we will not know how bad it is until each domino falls. I mean, they're involved in everything from tech stocks, developers, electric vehicle stocks, and they're all trading lower in China. So right now it's not looking good. But hey, everything's fine in the US because we just have that buy the dip mentality, right?
Yeah, we'll talk about buying the dip a little bit too, because I, you know, between crypto and gold prices, it's been a strange last 10 days. Just kind of a yo-yo.
We're starting to see the simulation market mix in with reality. And this is where stuff is going to start to get really, really strange. You've got some people that kind of have been maybe overconfident here for a while and been trading this market just based off of the Fed, or, you know, that buy the dip mentality. I'll say it again. And maybe some of these guys are actually starting to take a little step back and go, you know what, let me sift through some of the hype here and actually see what's going on. I'm hoping that that's what we're starting to see.
Yeah, and as we've talked about, you know, many, many times, it's watching these so-called titans of industry talk about how everything's healthy and we're fine. At the same time, you have the federal government talking about massive tax increases. Again, the opposite of anything you would want to do if you wanted a healthy economy. They bail out these multinationals, and then they place the tax burden. By the way, they borrowed money that didn't exist, so they create that, so they devalue your savings. At the same time, they're asking you, I'm talking about you, if you're a working person, if you have a small business, or if even if you're a millionaire, guess what? You're going to be bailing out multinationals that are too big to fail, right? Mm-hmm. That's what happened. They're essential and you're not. So you get the added bonus of paying for that, right? So they're going to increase the taxes, increase the regulation. But at the same time, and push for a digital currency, because the Fed, mm-hmm. ladies and gents, is the same thing as the government, okay? It's the same thing, except the Fed is not accountable, okay? They're not a government agency. You can't do a FOIA request on the Federal Reserve because they're as Federal Express, okay? And they like it that way. But what they're going to do is they're going to regulate, right? They're going to regulate you into oblivion. And at the same time, they're going to make sure that you don't know that the central banks around the world are buying up gold at a record pace. So the largest since Bretton Woods in 1944, when they set the gold standard for the world, right? That Nixon took us off of in 1971. They are resetting and they're getting all the gold, right? All the assets, and they're going to leave you holding the bag. This is what this is. This is a game, right? This is what the futurist Buckminster Fuller, he wrote a book on this right before he died called The Grunch of Giants. And I need to reread it. Grunch stands for Gross Universal Cash Heist. He was a genius, right? So he saw what the elites were doing with mm-hmm. this system. So that's what I want to warn people about. When you have these events, right? These are harbingers. You look at an Evergrande or something like that. You look at the markets that we're tied to here, the United States government, instead of saying, hey, we're suspending the income tax, instead of saying, we're giving you every reason to start a business, hire people, they're saying, no, vaccine mandates, right? I don't care what your opinion is on the vaccine. You can't do that. You can't exclude people, right? This is something we've never done before. And it's not something a free society does. It's not something a society that wants to be wealthy does, right? So we're going to learn a hard lesson. Right. It's just like, you know, Margaret Thatcher talked about socialism works great until you run out of other people's money. Well, not only are we going to run out of other people's money, they're going to run out of the ability to print endlessly.
That's where we are right now. That's actually the exact situation that China is facing at this very moment, is both us and China, you know, countries across the world right now, honestly, have just been printing like crazy. But there's not money necessarily coming in, and people are getting a little bit more wise as to what they should do when they earn a little more. Now, I will say that there's some that are probably buying more than what they should, just luxury goods and fun toys. But there's a good number of us that are thinking, you know, even me, and we're very careful with our money, taking a little bit of a step back. And what do we really need at this moment? What will I want to have, you know, before my dollar really is worthless, which we're already there. It's funny to even watch them talk about the dollar being stronger when we know it's lost like 98% of its value. That's really cute. It just makes me laugh every time.
It is cute. It's sick. And I was talking about this yesterday. I was on a podcast and I was doing my little, you know, 3-minute elevator class, right? What you call an elevator speech, where I show people like, this is a $20 gold piece. I don't have one in my hand now, but a $20 gold piece is an ounce of gold. That's what the United States had, is $20 for like 1776 or so to 1933. Mm-hmm. And I say, well, this is an ounce of gold. It's an ounce of gold worth about $2,000, you know, and I do the whole breakdown. And I've got an article. This was really funny because I was talking about this yesterday, and this really goes, it talks about the gold and silver ratio. But I said, look, the gold buys the same amount, right, of things that it did in 1933. Generally speaking, it's going to buy the same amount of property and food. I mean, yeah, within the margin of error. Okay, it's pretty close. So, but I tell people, I said, you look at that, but you take away what happened to the $20? Like, what happened to that? And then when you talk about the 98%, that's exactly on point. Gold was the money and is the money, right? The fake money is the Federal Reserve notes, and gold kept its value. So when they say, well, the Federal Reserve, you know, and it came along, our dollar is worth 98% less. I just did the math for you and showed you. Now, the weird thing about that, and we'll probably get to this after the break, but there is a correlation between the gold and silver ratio that's really interesting to watch right now. I mean, and I'll talk more about this, but, you know, gold and silver used to be a lot more tightly linked in value as opposed to how many ounces of silver it took to make 1 ounce of gold. I'm watching this real close because we're in this weird time frame where all of this funny money, like in all of the, I don't know, stuff that's been overbuilt, overinflated, like all these things that survive off the fiat currency system of the central bank, it has skewed the numbers on real commodities. So we'll talk about silver. Before we go to the break, and it's coming up here at the 30-minute mark. When you see, and I'm going to change, this is about crypto. When you see El Salvador, Kenzie, I said this last week, and I've been watching this really close. So El Salvador makes Bitcoin legal tender. Their president, right, seems like a jokester, right? What it looks like. I mean, he likes to be sarcastic. He put dictator on his Twitter profile, I guess, in response to some of the criticism he's gotten from making a choice to embrace freedom, which is funny. You know, he's gotten so much pushback. So how I know I'm on the right track when I recommend people look at Bitcoin, right, is what enemies it has. So as I said last week, and you can go and verify this all over the web, they have negative stories on like, El Salvador public, you know, riots, and they destroy Bitcoin ATMs. They don't want the Bitcoin. They hate it. You know, like, it's just, we can't stand it. And I'm like, who is funding this? Like, are people, could people really be that? I don't see that organically. And then you see all these news in my news feed on one of my devices. It has the El Salvador, the president on there, like, twice a day now about something he said, or it's meant to make you think he's crazy. And so this is funny. You know, we are in a battle. This is a struggle, and it's really a psychological, because we're talking about real assets and taking a look. I'm not recommending that you go, I'm not giving you financial advice either, but if you see the bigger picture here, the fiat currency system, the central bank system, is they're trying to reset. That's the great reset. It's not about you being reset per se, maybe your freedoms and like your autonomy over your own body and all these things like that. That's part of it. But they're doing a reset of their money supply. And El Salvador just happens to be, I don't know, it's funny, it kind of got in the way because this is where our government embraces it. Are you seeing anything like this on your, when you're doing your research? I just wanted to ask that before we went to the break. I wanted to bring it up before I forgot. Are you seeing that too?
I don't follow those sorts of things as hard. On my Twitter account, where I would see more of that stuff, I'm not on there as often right now, but I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, it just kind of throws a wrench in their plans, doesn't it? I mean, when all this starts to spiral out of control, and if they're, I mean, we are looking at a crypto clampdown right now. A real crypto crunch here. Who's to say that I don't just pick up and move to El Salvador myself? I'll leave.
The Bitcoin beach.
The Bitcoin beach. I'll just deny my citizenship here. I'll gain some sort of citizenship over there and say I'm done.
Probably have great
I don't want to be tax cattle anymore. So
yeah, it's we're doing everything here. Like if you were going to do a rain dance to summon the gods of economic disparity, like that's what they're doing in Washington. Like it's just, again, this just proves my point that it's not about recovery. They're picking winners and losers.
Yes.
You need to know that. This isn't about like we're going to, you know, get a bigger piece of the pie. No, they're taking the pie away from you.
Saw that as soon as they introduced this, I'm just going to call it a scamdemic. As soon as they introduced that to the world, you see how they treat mom and pop shops, how they treat these smaller restaurants, even some of the bigger chains that, you know, they are picking and choosing the losers in that scenario. And it's just, it's sad that somebody put their blood, sweat, and tears into something, a business for over 30 years, and it's gone. It's not coming back. They don't have the money to bring it back. They spent everything and maxed themselves out on debt to try to keep it afloat, and no one was there to prop them up. No one.
As I was saying, you know, looking at this and seeing how they have the society set up where, okay, well, if you, you know, you didn't get the jab, so you're going to be here in this column and you can't access these things. Small businesses are turning people away. I know people in New York City that can't go in and get it. Like they had the president of Brazil that couldn't get a slice of pizza inside the shop. Right. Well, they're doing that to regular people, right?
That did come up on my Twitter feed.
Okay, so that, yeah, you saw that. So regular people. So I've been in the restaurant business, in the small business, like barbecue, tacos, things like that, hamburgers. You can't lose one customer. You can't lose half a customer. How are these people going to make it? The answer is they're not. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, they're doing what they think they have to do to survive because the state or the local municipality is telling them to do that. But who's going to be left after that is going to be the big chains owned by the multinationals, the banking conglomerates. This is the war, ladies and gents. This is the big push for this reset of society. They call it the Great Reset. You can look at Klaus Schwab. They used COVID-1984 as an excuse to push these agendas, and they're in a hurry up offense. They're doing everything they can to push it forward. And so what we're doing is we're warning you, and Kinsey's research into Evergrande. This is another indicator. Like this could be the black swan. Maybe not it, but one of them that Palantir was talking about when Palantir went and bought $50 million in gold bullion, not gold contracts, gold bullion. And they made sure they made sure people understood they were buying physical, which I found interesting too, because most people that are doing that, oh, I bought GLD. No, they wanted to be in a strong position. So they told people we're going to get physical gold. So more stories on gold here. I wanted to address the chat. As I told people that we were due, by the way, this is our second show on WWCR. We're so proud to be on Worldwide Christian Radio. And I realize that if you're picking this up on shortwave, around, you know, somewhere on the other side of the earth, I know that you probably don't have cryptocurrency because you need the internet or something. But maybe you do. Maybe you have a wallet that you house things on off the internet. It's accessible to pretty much anyone if you can ever get under Wi-Fi. So we do talk a little bit about crypto, but our main focus is metals and of course the monetary system. So that's really what we're giving you is a bigger picture. So we just appreciate your listenership. And if you're finding us on YouTube, finding us on Facebook, and we're on Twitter, I'm everywhere that until we get banned, Kinsey, I'm everywhere. So I've lost a couple of channels on my radio show, but we'll make sure that we put, you know, we plug your show, we plug my radio show and what we're doing elsewhere in the alternative media. But I wanted to hit the chat. We started out, we have, Rich Singh 41 that said, "Hey, mister, when I started the show, hey, how's it going? I appreciate you here." Trap Beeper is here. We got a couple of smiley faces with some sunglasses on. I think that's a good news. I think that's good. They're happy that we're here. Of course, Raybo Ghosted, he's one of my listeners, one of my supporters. We appreciate you. He said, "This is the greatest depression." And that's Gerald Salente. I happen to agree. We're on the road for that really challenging time. And there's kind of a lull right now. So there's this weird
lull.
The calm
before the storm.
Yes. And I'm not saying it's tomorrow, but the elites are preparing for what's to come. And you should too. And this is a big financial shakeup. So we're going to be here talking about the news when it comes to actual money. And let's make sure that you have everything that you did. What else did you have on your notes? I want to make sure I didn't skip anything.
No, I'm done with Evergrande. That's the biggest news that I think that you're going to get from us. And I'd be surprised if the mainstream even actually talks about that. You know, it's funny, Tony. They keep talking about the possibility of spillover, but that's as vague as it gets. They don't go into any more detail than that. And I kept CNBC on most of the day here since I was waiting on the Fed to come up and just kind of wanted to hear the talking points as I was doing my work. And man, they sure talked about it a whole lot, but with how much they talked about it, they didn't really tell you anything. So
no, that's
just not very cool.
I used to keep the financial shows on in my shop, and I used to have Fox Business on. Then I got to where I couldn't even stand it, you know, because we're really not talking about the key issues here. It's just kind of rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. And that's yeah, the way and I felt about it.
Everyone just kind of has their own flavor or their own spin on how they're going to give you that news. But then again, it's just a bunch of words and no real information there. So I'm good on that. If we get any more developments, maybe we just do an emergency podcast, something kind of short. If something really came up, I could always just send you some info over on that. But that's what I have right now.
I'm down. Okay, great. So I've got a couple of stories and we'll talk about this to finish out the show. First we'll start with Market Watch. Just kind of tell people, we'll run some spot prices, tell them what they're looking at as far as the metals and Bitcoin are concerned. This is marketwatch.com. Gold ends with a slight gain, eases back after Federal Reserve policy statement and Powell comments. So, yesterday and throughout the, like, you know, you backtrack last week, you start seeing gold, start taking a dive and it's in the red. Lots of sell off there. There's a little bit of panic sell. And then I think it's a combination of a lot of different news. But as of this podcast, as of this evening at 6 p.m., we're looking at 1,767 Luciferian Bankster notes to make 1 troy ounce of gold, 1,767 Federal Reserve notes per troy ounce. And silver's up about 20 cents at $22.71. Per troy ounce. That's the spot price. And I'll do spot price on Bitcoin here in a minute. I wanted to get through a couple of these articles. Gold futures finished with a slight gain on Wednesday, climbing even further into electronic trading after Federal Reserve's policy statement. But the prices then eased back as investors weighed comments from the central bank's chairman, Jerome Powell. Fed officials suggested the central bank may soon decide to taper its bond purchases and raise interest rates by next year. Okay. Yeah, this is where, look, they can't do either. And look, they can't do either until they decide. This is where, you know, you disagree with me if you want, Kenzie. They can't really do either if they want this economy to survive in any way. Right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like on the long road, you could deal with inflation, but they're going to turn the light switch off if they do raise interest rates. Like it'll just the mechanism. Well, I think will backfire a little, implode. So until they decide who the winners and losers are, right? So we got a little bit more time before they do one of these two things or both, right? And that would be for the benefit of them. It won't make a healthy economy. But you got 2022 coming up. The midterms, you know, for Congress, and there's like some Senate seats that are up and all the governorships, I think, in so many states. It's going to be a weird next 12 months for sure, 13 months going into these election cycles. So that's pretty much the news on gold. You know, the Fed indicated they would keep rate hikes on schedule with at least 3 hikes to occur in 2023. So it's 2021 and they're planning these. Right. I don't believe that.
I don't know. It's either going to come way sooner than what it's supposed to, or as I was getting my thoughts together today, which I don't have enough to explain this to you guys yet today, I'm wondering if we're actually going to be forced into negative interest rates. You know, thought we'd hold off as long as possible, but I think that there's a good chance if this comes spiraling down, that's the only choice.
It's like the cascading events would be like as more countries get off of the petrodollar and you start seeing like them moving to their own currencies or trying to start their own reserve currency status. I just think it'd be one of those things that just kicks off and all of a sudden you'll see a run on the dollar. You will see they'll shut down markets. It'll be chaos.
Absolutely.
And none of these numbers that we're reading off now will really mean much. I just don't, they can't hold it together and it's baked into it. Like the failure, and unfortunately, like I'm not even being pessimistic. I'm just reading the data. If you have an economy where people aren't producing anything, you have a federal government trying to tax them into a, what is the message being sent here?
On top of that, it's like we're not producing anything. And then the produced goods that we buy are delayed. Everything is delayed. It's insane. What is it? Is it up to 80 ships now in off the coast of California, the ports there? I think that there's 80 container ships waiting to come in. And we keep going through these cycles. So the supply chain disruption is still here.
Yes.
That continues. We're seeing they cannot control inflation. Zero Hedge, not too long ago, did that article where it cost 68 new Ferraris to rent a 12-year-old container ship for 3 months. A new Ferrari cost you $250,000. So 68 of those for an old ship. It's just so weird. There's no controlling this inflation. We are in the craziest of times right now.
And you see prices skyrocketing on all sorts of items. And then gold and silver are like, oh, it's down. I go, what? Now, I'm not saying that gold should be at $5,000 an ounce. But I'm saying it. How does it go down when you have the economic data that's basically, it's a farce. I mean, it's if it wasn't affecting so many people in such a negative way, it would be a comedy. But
I would just say welcome to clown world. That's where you are. If you do have some gold or silver out there, I know it kind of hurts right now to watch this, especially for those of us that are heavy in silver. You're thinking, man, everything is keeping up or surpassing inflation except for my silver. It's just stagnant. It does feel that way. I get the punches too, but I can promise you right now, if you are in precious metals and possibly even some cryptos, I'm a little skeptical myself of cryptos, but if you're in that gold or silver, just, you know, you were here before everyone else. You're not going to be the Johnny come lately that's buying at the peak somewhere. You're in a better position than most people out there.
Yeah. And again, you know, the whole thing is information on cryptos. I'm not recommending anything. I'm just letting you know that the system, right? That's what you got to watch, right? They don't want you watching the system. Like they want you to pay attention to the stock market. Pay attention to the casino. There's no clocks in the casino, right? They'll bring you free drinks, you know. They'll give you some QE on ice. But be careful, right? You're going to get sucked in there.
If you want, I've actually got some crypto news to go over as far as regulations go.
I've got one article makes me want to go over and we'll hit that.
All right, cool.
Cool. This was off Zero Hedge. And this is kind of what I was talking about earlier in the podcast, the gold silver ratio. And this is Shift Gold, by the way, Peter Schiff's company. This is the gold-silver ratio opening up again. During a gold bull market, silver typically outperforms gold. We saw this during the big run-up in the prices of both metals through the early months of the pandemic. In the third quarter of last year, silver charted its best quarter since 2010, finishing up 27.62% through the 3 months ending, going back to September 30th. So we look at that. We say prior to the pandemic, the gold to silver ratio was well above 80-1. In February 2020, it stood at 88-1. The ratio climbed to nearly 93-1, 93 ounces of silver to make 1 ounce of gold in the summer of 2019. As silver and gold rallied last year, the big increase in the price of silver pushed the gold-silver ratio back below 70-1. In recent months, silver and gold have both faced significant pressure as markets anticipate the Federal Reserve will begin tightening monetary policy. Silver, this is where it's silly. So it loses steam based off of that. Okay. Silver has faced stronger selling pressure than gold, and the silver-gold ratio has reopened, running at 78 to 1 today. In practice, it takes 78 ounces of silver to buy 1 ounce of gold. To put that into perspective, the average in the modern era has been between 40 to 1 and 50 to 1. Mm-hmm. And this also says this in the article, but you go back to like 19th century America, 18th century, it was 16 to 1, 15, 16 to 1 was always the standard up until really 1933 when Franklin Roosevelt had people turn in their gold coins in the U.S. And that was really like one of the last holdouts. So it is interesting, like when we see gold held its value, what happened with silver? And I want to read on this article because this is where I've been talking about, like there's something wrong with that. Like there's something mm-hmm. wrong in that entire matrix of things with silver, and something I've been talking about a lot. So we'll finish out this article, and then I want to hear what you have to say. Geologists estimate that there are approximately 19 ounces of silver for every ounce of gold in the Earth's crust, with a ratio of approximately 11.2 ounces of silver for each ounce of gold that has ever been mined. And it says, interestingly, the gold-silver ratio in Egypt was 1 to 1. In 1792, the gold-silver price ratio was fixed in law by the United States at 15 to 1. France mandated a ratio of 15.5 to 1 in 1803. Faced with the challenges of a bimetallic monetary system with fixed exchange rates in the aftermath of a worldwide crisis, the U.S. Congress passed the Coinage Act of 1873, and that of course led up to the Morgan silver dollar. And that was the crime of 73, by the way. There was a big, the senator that pushed that was hated for basically taking away the prestige of the silver dollar. And that kind of began this, the downward slope of the silver dollar in purchasing power in the 1870s. Commodities analyst Jason Hamlin said in an article published by Seeking Alpha, the gold-silver ratio has been the most reliable technical buy indicators for silver whenever the ratio climbs above 80. We're right at that doorstep. So basically saying that when it reaches a certain clown level where you're like 80 to 1, buy it, right? So, mm-hmm. and I've been doing that. I buy it anyway. I don't really care what the ratio is because I know what it's worth. But so I would skip around. This is where how it ends. It said the silver has hit an all-time high of $49 per ounce twice in January 1980 and then again in April 2011. If you adjust that $49 for inflation, you're looking at a price of around $150 per ounce. In other words, silver has a long way to run up. As one analyst put it, with the long-term downside potential of silver very low versus its current valuation, the risk-reward is one of the best investments on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
So I've said this in so many words, like there's something wrong with gold has been stable. People always ask me like, how much money am I going to make if I buy gold? And like, well, gold or silver? Well, gold and silver are money. So that's the beginning of that. It's the beginning of understanding the paradigm shift. So gold's held that, but silver has been just really disrupted. And, you know, and you have silver being used in solar and in medicine and so many other things that, I mean, not just jewelry and not just a hedge, not just monetary use, right? Gold's very similar. Like it has uses in electronics, it has uses in some medicines and things outside of its, you know, jewelry use and outside of its monetary use. And there's something to me about silver, again, not investment advice, but something to me about silver that screams like undervalued. Thoughts on that, Kinsey?
I mean, I personally think it's the most undervalued asset on the planet currently, from what we know about and its use cases. And I 100% agree with that.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you're on board because I'm watching this in real time going, how do I explain it to people better? And then they put out, I mean, the article said pretty much what I said yesterday on the podcast I was on. Just take a stack. I'll have to do this sometime for our show, but like taking a stack of 20, 1 ounce rounds of silver, you know, like 1, 2, 3, and it almost takes 4 stacks to make 1 ounce of gold. Mm-hmm. Right? That's just crazy. And, you know, even the silver dollars to me, like, I love the old Morgan silver dollars. That's usually what I try to save because of the Americana and the history of them. But, you know, look, that it takes about 30 of those, at least, to make an ounce of gold. So really crazy. As we, and I did go over the spot price of Bitcoin real quick, and then we'll talk to the chat maybe again, unless you had anything else you wanted to talk about. But
I got a machine gun through some of my crypto news here.
Okay, absolutely. Yeah, we're going to go through crypto. So speaking of that, the price of Bitcoin today, 45,000. Excuse me, that dropped. I'm wrong. 43,000. I just clicked on it. This was on my page earlier today. 43,548 close on Bitcoin. So a wild ride. This I bought the dip at like 40. I bought some, and I'm buying behind over my shoulder. You can see my Bitcoin ATM. I buy from my own shop. I buy for myself, just a little bit, just not anything to disturb, you know, the matrix of things with Wise Wolf, but just to have a little bit of crypto. So what's your crypto news? What do you want a machine gun through?
All right. Got a machine gun through it. So this year, Congress has put forward 18 bills on digital assets. So that's just for 2021 so far. And they're scattered across through different bills. So many of them are, you know, you got to pass it to find out what's in it. It's going to be really fun. So they actually, starting off, they want to ban the use of unauthorized stable coins. This is an easy way to welcome the new digital dollar, Fed coin, CBDCs. Basically, you know, I'm a person where each of my crypto accounts that I have, even my brokerage account and things, typically I keep over $100 in each of those. One, so I always have money on hand that's not easy to spend. Two, because if there is a massive dip, I want to go and scoop that up pretty easy. Well, that would kind of take that ability away from me unless I'm using their Fed coin or whatever they give to me. Right. This one is really interesting, and it probably doesn't apply to most listeners here, but I don't like it. So there's going to be penalties to those who use coin mixers and privacy coins. You and I both are fans of Pirate Chain, Monero, Bitcoin, for the reasons of privacy. Now, I have a good feeling most people haven't used coin mixers, and if you go and look into that, you're thinking, oh, you're just a drug dealer or somebody doing something bad if you use it. I would say not necessarily. But the Bank Secrecy Act is kind of being amended there, and that's what's going to change this up. And willful violators of the Bank Security Act could get a fine of $250,000 or imprisonment for 5 years or both. So say that somebody sent me some mixed coins, how would I be able to prove that I wasn't the one that mixed them? Or let's say that I open up down here at the farmer's market and I put up a sign that says, I accept Bitcoin. Well, I don't know what you did with those coins, and maybe I want to run them through a coin mixer just for my own safety. I don't want to hold your dirty money necessarily, so go and mix it all up. And I could get in trouble for that. I think that that's kind of silly. And they are actually redefining legal tender once again, and change the way that money is created by the Federal Reserve. So they want to authorize the issuing of digital USD, where all transactions can and will be recorded. That goes back to those Fed coins. This one's just crazy. The SEC wants to regulate and change up DeFi protocols, which would just be impossible. So just get rid of DeFi completely. And reclassification of Bitcoin and Ethereum again, which at the moment are kind of classified as commodities. Reclassifying them over again is subject to harder capital gains taxing. And this is closing the door on cryptos ever being legal tender here in the US. So I don't know if any of this will pass, but it's scary. And I don't like the penalties that we're seeing from here, especially the coin mixing and privacy coins.
Yeah, I love the people that stole the birthright of the American people and their children by borrowing into oblivion. Tell the crypto industry and all the innovators that they're criminals.
Yeah, just automatically, like, all like of you are.
You stole the future. You know, you have $3.5 trillion spending bills, and then no one really knows who's getting the money. It's not you or me, right? And not that I want the money.
It doesn't ever seem to help us.
No, ever. It's just burying us further and further in debt. The dollar goes, you know, buys less and less. You have less and less freedom. It's just absolutely insane. But these are the, like, again, these are the prescriptions. This is the recipe for an economic collapse. I don't want it to happen. It's just going to happen. Economies are, you can only fool, you know, the like, you can't go around the rules that are built in for economics. Like, it has to be based on production. And when you've just kept the lights on by printing more of your fiat currency, there's a price to pay. And we're seeing that in the supply chain. We're seeing, and again, it's an upside down world. So you have silver, you know, tanking last week, and people called me up like, when I was buying silver, you know, it was 34 an ounce. Because if you recall, Kinsey, it wasn't that long ago. Was it February? There was the Reddit, you know, raiders and all those that were going to push the price of silver up. People that you were on a live stream, the guy came in and started buying silver from me, and you couldn't find any supply, and the price went down. That's how I know this is a scam, right? That's how I know, because they're pushing the same thing now. But I can go on the trading floor and I can look and see how far we are out of like different items for supply, and it's 2 weeks out. Right. So it's getting to where I could buy something live, and then it's less available. So being less available, going down in price, this is another indicator that if you can get your hands on it, it's a good time to get some silver, get some metals in your hand, physical metals.
Yeah, because just
the prices have dropped.
Don't be the person that's looking at it and you're mad at it right now with the price that it's at. And then you're going to end up with FOMO, that fear of missing out. You know, once we start hitting $30 silver again, quite a couple of my subscribers were doing that stuff. And even though I was telling them, don't go and pay these premiums, don't go and pay that price, I do think it'll come back down. They went and did it because they felt like they didn't have enough. But if you were just constantly buying when you could, you wouldn't feel that FOMO. You wouldn't be scared like that.
Yeah. Just look, these are the times to take some effort, you know, and look through the price. Look at the, pull up this, we'll have this on the RSS feed. Look at the history of the price of the silver and gold ratio. Mm-hmm. Look at that historically. Look at, you know, the fact that $50 an ounce in 1980 is about $200 today. They say 150. I think it's probably more like 200. So silver has a long way to go. And even if you just want to be in a position where you're not going to get wiped out by what's coming, that's all my mission is.
That's my goal. I would honestly say too, for the older folks that are out there, if you have IRAs or just something that could be converted into an IRA, I would strongly recommend getting that into something gold-backed. Or Tony, is it even possible, like say if I had an IRA, can I just move a small percentage of it into something that's gold-backed? Is that possible, or do I have to move the whole thing?
I don't think you have to move the. You could set up another one. I think you could set up you could have two, I think, but you'd still be limited to
so much a year.
This is a great question for New Direction Trust, the people that I use for the gold and silver IRAs, which is our partner out of Nevada. No, that's a good question. I think you can have two, and then you would just be limited, like your contributions, like you'd still be capped, I think, to the original limits. But I've had people like roll over 401ks, like their savings they've done for 10 years, and we just put it into a gold and silver IRA, and there's no penalties. So you can put it into real physical metal. And of course, you have to store it. You know, you have to have the third party storage and everything else, because that's part of the law behind IRAs. You can't physically have it, but it's physical metal. It's not a contract, right? It's not, you know, it's not SLV or GLD on the exchange. It's real, actual physical metal. So this is probably a good chance to plug too. We got a few minutes left. You know, folks, we're going to be here at 6 p.m. So write this down, 6 p.m. Central Time every Wednesday. Kinsey and I, we take to the airwaves. And of course, we're on WWCR, Worldwide Christian Radio. This is going around the world on shortwave. That's also live. You look at our YouTube channel, you can share that around. We're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, and we're going to be doing lots of touches to the channel and giving you more, you know, maybe some more content, some interviews. Kinsey and I had lots of meetings about what we're going to do with this show. So we really appreciate everybody who's tuning in. And of course, the chat before we let everybody go and give some links. And I want everybody to know where they can find you. We got Linklater, the one of the guys on Periscope, says the last one is to get, they're talking about the sequence of events, is to get animals fighting while they get the other. So that's what they're talking about us. Andrea C says, how about the Federal Reserve presidents getting caught inside their trading person accounts and some equities? I didn't know about that. Yeah. So
yeah, Jerome Powell has some munis that he bought years back.
Okay. Well, I wasn't aware of that. Parker Hardwood Floor says a central bank in control of the currency is more dangerous to liberty than our standing army. Oh, that's Thomas Jefferson, agreed. Right? Yeah. So we're seeing that, right? This is what's coming into play, and they're running the hurry up offense, in my opinion, when it comes to transitioning this economy and the creative destruction into the digital system. And like I said, it's going to take a crisis. Never let a good crisis go to waste. Don't be caught in the middle of that, folks. Don't be caught in the middle of that. Do your research. This is the time to prepare for the next level of economic uncertainty and downturn. Like I said, it's baked into the matrix of things. You can't shut down the economy. You can't tax people. You can't make it overregulate. You can't do all the things that they're doing. Instead of opening up the American spirit and the entrepreneurial spirit, they're shutting it down, and they want it that way. They want us divided, and they want us poor, and they want us broke. So, Kinsey, before we close, tell people where they can find you.
I also have a YouTube channel. So I guess if you find the podcast or all of our links on the podcast, I sent you my link tree earlier, and that actually gives people my YouTube, Twitter, Odyssey, DLive, all the alternative platforms. It's all in one link, so people can kind of choose where they want to go.
Good. Well, I'll put that up. That will be in the show notes, and every article that we talked about, too, will also be in the show notes. If you want to find my radio show, go check me out on rockfin.com. You'll find me under the America Unplugged channel. I'm over there with the great Don Jeffries and Billy Ray Valentine every Saturday, 11 Central Time live. So if you join Rockfin, you can see that. But the Arterburn radio transmission is Monday and Friday at 3 p.m. Central Time. You can find the podcast anywhere podcasts are found. The website is arterburn.news. And if you'd like to talk to me about gold or silver, wisewolf.gold. You can leave me a message. You can call the toll-free number there, 888-667-1836. But we'll be back next week in a world of fiat reality. The truth is solid gold. Appreciate everyone. Have a great evening.